Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a Roughneck Chopped Vinyl Texture Blueprint in Ableton Live 12 for old-school jungle and breakbeat-led drum and bass vibes, but we're doing it with a mastering mindset. So this is not just about grime for grime's sake. We want controlled dust, unstable pitch energy, break-driven movement, and that borrowed from a record feeling, all sitting around a clean sub and a solid drum core without wrecking the mix. Think of this layer as moving ambience, not as another drum part. That's the first big mindset shift. If you program it like a second break, you'll flatten the impact of both layers. But if you treat it like a living texture that answers the groove, supports the edits, and brings some attitude into the top and upper mid range, then suddenly the whole tune feels more sampled, more human, and way more authentic. So let's build the foundation. Start by creating a dedicated audio track and name it Vinyl Texture. Keep this separate from your main drum bus. That separation matters, because we want freedom to automate intensity later without messing up the kick, snare, or sub balance. This is especially important if you're thinking like a mastering engineer, because every extra layer has to earn its place in the spectrum and in the peak budget. On that track, load an audio effect rack and build a chain that gives you control, movement, and safe coloration. A good starting order is utility, EQ8, auto filter, saturator, drum bus, echo or delay, maybe redux if you want a little extra degradation, then glue compressor or compressor, and finally limiter only as a safety net, not as a tone shaper. First move, set utility to around -6 dB. That gives you headroom right away. You do not want to start with a hot texture layer and then fight it later. In drum and bass, the arrangement is already dense. The texture should feel present, but it should not bully the kick or chew up your mix bus. Now for the source material. Don't reach for a full break and just let it play. That's the fast road to a messy layer. Instead, grab a classic brick or a brick-derived clip and slice it into micro-fragments. You want the little moments that have character. Snare ghosts, rim ticks, kick tails, cymbal spill, tiny shuffles, off-grid little accidents. These are the details that make the layer feel like a record being worked in real time. If you're using sliced new MIDI track, great, because that gives you performance control. If you're working more surgically in arrangement view, that's fine too. The key is to pull out the best 2 to 12 frame sized edits and build your own texture from those moments. Keep most fragments somewhere between a 16th note and an 8th note in length. That gives you enough detail without turning the part into a full drum loop again. Here's a really good old school trick. Offset a few fragments by 5 to 20 milliseconds. That tiny timing imperfection adds human drag and makes the layer feel like a real chopped record, not a gridlocked sample pack loop. Also, reverse one fragment out of every 4 or 8. That gives you instant call and response energy, and it's a great way to create tension before a snare hit or at the end of a phrase. If you want even more authenticity, resample a short break section first, then import that audio back in and chop it again. That extra generation of processing gives you that this was already a record once vibe. It's subtle, but in this style, subtle is everything. Next, turn those slices into a playable instrument using Simpler or Sampler. If you're working with a short break excerpt, slice mode in Simpler is usually the easiest route. If you want more custom control over a looping texture, use Classic mode and map the zones yourself. For the source handling, try a warp mode like Texture or Complex Pro if the sample needs a little preservation, but test beats too if you want sharper rhythmic punch. A good starting transpose is -1 to -3 semitones, just to darken the layer a little. Then low pass the source somewhere around 6 to 10 kHz. Depending on how dusty or bright it is. You want the texture to have detail, but not so much top that it fights the hats or turns into fizzy static. Shape the amp envelope fast and short. Quick attack, short decay, low sustain, short release. That keeps the layer snappy and chopped. If you want a little pitch slur when notes overlap, add a very small amount of glide. Tiny amounts only. We're after instability, not synth portamento. Now write a MIDI pattern that feels like a living edit performance. Don't make it too neat. Jungle texture works best when it feels like someone is live chopping a record during the phrase. Try offbeat hits, repeated stabs, occasional gaps, and one-note pulses that return every couple of bars. Put in some 1/8-note bursts that lead into the snare. Then leave empty bars, where the texture drops out and lets the drums breathe. That contrast is what makes the groove feel alive. Now we shape the tone so it sits in the right zone. Open EQ8 and high pass the layer somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz. That protects the sub and kick immediately. If the texture feels cloudy, dip a little around 250 to 400 Hz. If you need more crackle and articulation, a gentle lift around 2.5 to 5 kHz can help. If it gets spitty or harsh, tame the 6 to 8 kHz region. The important mastering question here is, what frequency range is this layer actually owning? If you can't answer that in one sentence, the layer is probably too broad. This should live mostly in the upper mid atmosphere and texture range, not the low end. The sub and kick are the foundation. This is the color around them. After EQ, put auto filter after it and automate the cutoff across the arrangement. In the intro, you might keep it low past around 2 to 4 kHz, so the layer feels murky, dusty, and intimate. As you build toward the drop, open it up to 8 to 12 kHz. Then, in the drop, actually thin it a little so the drums and bass can dominate. That contrast makes the texture feel more intentional. In breakdowns, close it back down and let the crackle feel close to the listener again. Now add some controlled dirt. Saturator is perfect here because you want harmonic glue, not destruction. Try 1.5 to 4 dB of drive, turn soft clip on, and then match the output so you're not fooling yourself with level increase. If you want a slightly more analog clip style edge, drive it a bit harder and pull the output back. Then bring in drum bus. Keep it subtle. Drive around 5 to 15% is usually plenty. A little crunch can roughen the transients nicely, and a touch of positive transient can help the edits pop. Boom is usually off for this kind of layer unless you specifically want a low mid throb for a transition. Remember, the goal is worn source character, not turning this into a distorted bass line. At this point, the texture should already feel more alive, but we still want motion and width without losing discipline. That's where echo or delay comes in. Use it lightly. Think 1/8 or dotted 1/16 timing, with feedback around 10 to 25%, and high pass the repeats, so they don't cloud the low mids. Keep the dry slash wet somewhere around 5 to 15%. Just enough smear and drift to make it breathe. Now automate. This is where the part stops being a loop and starts being an arrangement element. Move the auto filter cutoff. Move the saturator drive slightly in transitions. Throw a little extra feedback at the end of phrases. Ride the track volume for phrase-based dips and lifts. Even small automation moves can make this layer feel like it's responding to the tune. Stereo discipline matters a lot here. Use utility to keep the low part of the texture effectively mono by filtering out the low frequencies first. If you want width, apply it only to the higher dust and delay returns. You can even split the rack into two chains, a dry grit chain that stays mono and centered, and a wider air chain that carries the unstable top-end movement. That gives you depth without making the mix wash out. And here's a very useful test. Mute the bass and drums. The texture should still feel interesting, but it should lose most of its body on purpose. That tells you it's support, not foundation. If it still feels like a full musical element on its own, it's probably too broad or too loud. Now let's make it musical in the arrangement. This is where the Roughneck blueprint really comes alive. Think in 8-bar, 16-bar, and 3 2-bar blocks. For example, in bars 1 to 8, let the vinyl crackle and sparse chopped hits set the mood. In bars 9 to 16, thicken the fragments and open the filter a bit. In bars 17 to 24, bring in a second chopped layer or a reversed hit. Then in bars 25 to 32, pull the texture back so the drop can land cleanly. During the drop, let the texture become intermittent so it punches between the kick, snare, and bass phrases. Then in the second 16 bars, add variation with another reverse, a delay throw, or a little pitch bend on the last two bars. A big jungle move is to let the texture answer the drums. If the snare lands heavy on 2 and 4, let a broken vinyl stab appear after beat 4 or on the end of 4 in the next bar. That creates forward motion without crowding the downbeat. It's almost like ghost percussion, but with attitude and history baked into it. Here's another strong variation idea. Build two states of the same texture. One version can be more open and dusty for intros and breakdowns. The other can be more stripped and controlled for drops. Then swap them with automation or chain selectors. That way the layer evolves without sounding like a static loop. You can also create phrase end collapses. That means a tiny dropout, a filter slam, or a reverse burst on the last half bar of every 8 or 16 bars. These little moments are gold because they make the arrangement feel edited, not just looped. They also give the ear a clear cue that something is about to change. If you want extra darkness, try a reverse hit right before a snare arrival. That creates a bit of dread and pulls the ear into the backbeat. Another nice trick is a tiny pitch drop on the last hit of an 8-bar phrase. Even a small downward move can sound like the needle slipping, which is perfect for this style. Once the part feels right, resample it to audio. This is a huge advanced move, because it freezes your design decisions into a single object you can now treat like an arrangement asset. Clean the clip edges with fades, remove unnecessary silence, consolidate sections if needed, and only normalize if the file really needs it. Don't inflate the level just because you can. Recheck the peak level against the full mix. Then listen in context with the kick, snare, and bass. That is the real test. If the texture still has character at a lower fader position, it's working. If it disappears completely, it may be too thin. If it suddenly feels like it's stepping on everything, pull it back, high pass it more, or reduce the density during the drop.